I think one of the most pressing errors of our time is the view that we can create a society where inequality doesn't exist. I think it's a particularly pernicious lie for multiple reasons. And there's this idea that if we just take the wealth from the rich and redistribute it to the poor, then everything will be even, that this equality will exist. But there are some intellectuals who are now arguing, and they use a variety of different examples, that inequalities arise very often in exchange, and not just with money, but with most fields of talent, most fields of creativity. They call this, in psychological studies, a Pareto distribution. Dr. Jordan Peterson talks about this quite frequently. So the classic example of a Pareto distribution is that 10% of the people in the world have a majority of the wealth. But the interesting thing is, you can apply this to other fields. So for example, this is a more interesting one. 10% of the criminals, according to Dr. Jordan Peterson, commit a majority of the crime. And there's other examples of this. There's a small percentage of athletes who are at the top of their field. There's a small percentage of people who create music or podcasts or whatever media it might be. Wherever human creativity is, there always tends to be a small percentage who shine. Some people think that this is an example of injustice. But what we've seen in history is when people have sought to create an equality among society, within a generation, those same patterns exist. So if you look at Cuba, North Korea, the Soviet Union, there was still an elite. There were still a few people that had a majority of the wealth, the property, the power, the influence. But instead of it being based on free markets, it was based on other principles. Perhaps who was most loyal to the party, or in the case of some system, who is the most ruthless, who's the most willing to kill and to connive to reach the top. So the question then becomes, what is the answer to inequality? Is it just simply that there's going to always be a few rich people and the rest of us just have to suffer with that? Or is there some way, something that we can take from the gospel that can teach us to be happy and satisfied, but also inspiring us to create a more just society? See, I think the key with wealthy and the powerful is not to take their wealth from them, strip them of their titles and redistribute it, but rather to inspire virtue, to inspire generosity. And I think we've seen that. That's the pattern that Christianity has done throughout the ages, and we can see some examples of that locally. And I'm going to come back to that in a moment, but let's dive into the readings and try to get into some spiritual principles that can help us arrive at this point. So we see in our second reading, there's a great line in there where he's talking about equality, where he says, those who had much did not have more, and those who had less did not lack. I might have gotten that slightly wrong. That passage comes from the Exodus. It comes from the Old Testament, where they're gathering manna. And it's fascinating. You think, what would be more equal, that God pours down a set amount of manna every day, and they all gather it? But you can almost imagine, just imagine any group of people. There's some people that are a little bit faster, a little bit stronger, so maybe they gathered more manna than the rest. Who knows? Maybe somebody got the idea, hey, I developed a technique on how to gather manna where I gather more than everybody else. What I think the passage means is that maybe there was an inequality even in gathering of manna in the deserts of Egypt when God was feeding his people. But the people who had more did not become proud. They did not become arrogant. They did not become selfish. They became generous. And the people who had less did not become envious, did not become rebellion, didn't form a workers' party and try to overthrow the people who had more. Now, of course, there's always a place for political action. I'm not being a little sarcastic. But the reality is that disquiet of heart that comes either through pride on one extreme or envy on the other enslaves us. And even if we overthrow an unjust society, if we do so from a place of fear, anxiety, and hatred, then whatever revolution we install will only lead to further injustices. And we see this pattern over and over again. Yes, many times the communists would overthrow unjust governments and then turn around and establish the same pattern, but with new people in charge. So let's go to the gospel to really recognize that when all is said and done, how do we come to this place of spiritual freedom? That if we are rich, we are not proud, and if we are lowly, we are not envious and lose our peace and lose our happiness. We see it's through an encounter with Jesus Christ, and you kind of knew that was coming, right? Jesus Christ is always the answer. But let's look a little bit deeper. When you see first the synagogue official willing to bet that he would have been in the top 10% of where he was from, he would have been a leader, a wealthy person within his society, one with more access to power. What is the temptation of the rich and perhaps the temptation of the synagogue official? I don't need Jesus. What are people going to think of me if I bow myself before this itinerant preacher? Yeah, he can work a lot of miracles, but I'm so important. I can't humble myself. I can't be lowly like that. That is the temptation. But yet the synagogue official doesn't fall for it. He humbles himself at the feet of Jesus. And we hear other similar people of the rich and powerful. It is often said that Jesus preached primarily to the poor, and there's truth in that. But guess what? There were many rich and powerful people that became disciples of Jesus Christ in Jesus's time and throughout history. Other examples. The synagogue official, you could almost see it, perhaps the same pattern that other rich and wealthy people, when they convert, they say, I give to the poor. I'm generous because Jesus, you have inspired me. That's not an exact quote of scripture, but that's often the result of humbling themselves and encountering the person of Jesus Christ. And then there's another temptation, which is the temptation of the woman. You look at her, she's of lowly socioeconomic status. And perhaps her temptation, you can almost get a sense from if you read the scripture, is she thinks, I'm not worthy of Jesus' attention. He's an important person, and I'm a nobody. I can't dare ask the Lord for what I need. And that can be a temptation sometimes. We don't aspire to great things. So we think, you know, I'm just a common person. You know, we think in the spiritual world, there's those saints that they have a deep prayer life. They know the scriptures. But me, you know, I'm just going to pray an Our Father, a Hail Mary in the morning, and one before I go to bed, and that'll suffice. The priests, the nuns, other people, they're the ones who know the scriptures. They're the ones who have that deep prayer life. That, my friends, is a dramatic temptation that we must overcome. The woman, you can see, she overcomes it. Even though she's of humble origin, she believes that Jesus has the power to do incredible things. And then what he does is he takes her and he says to her, daughter, your faith has saved you. Though you may be in the eyes of the world, you may be lowly. In the eyes of God, you are a daughter and a son. And in the ancient world, that means you're equal with the Father. You're equal with the Son and the Holy Spirit. You have a profound dignity. And when we recognize that we need Jesus, when we humble ourselves. It doesn't matter if we're rich or if we're poor, we can find happiness. We can find an ability to rest day in and day out. Because they'll say, there's tons of studies that show, if once we've been able to provide for our basic needs, it doesn't matter how much money you have. Happiness is not found in the things of this world. It's found in friendship. It's found in family. But above all else, it's found in Jesus Christ. So today, let us seek the rest of the Lord. Let us seek intimacy with Jesus Christ and dream dreams that we can be saints after the heart of Christ and shine with his glory. Amen.